Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We are located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're so glad you've tuned in. We pray that today's message is truly a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238. Or call us toll-free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Fred Kirksey shares the message titled, Grateful for What You Brought Me Through.
Oh, come on, let's lift our hands to the Lord. In the book of Genesis, an angel of the Lord comes to Sarah, and he's talking to Abraham, and he tells Abraham that your wife Sarah is going to have a baby. And Sarah begins to chuckle and she begins to laugh as she hears the angel talking to Abraham, because she's thinking to herself, I am of old age. My husband is of old age. And Lord, I hear what you're saying, but it's impossible for this to happen. But how many of you know when the world says it's impossible, God says, I'm possible. And so God goes on to say, why did you laugh? And then he asked the question, is there anything too hard for God? I'm speaking to someone right now that's going through one of the most challenging times in your life. Ish. And you're thinking there is no way possible for it to get better. And God is saying to you, activate your faith. Because there is nothing too hard for God. How many of you know that God will, God can, and he's able to do it for you. God is able to do it for you. And as the song says, if he don't do it, then it just can't be done. Come on, if y'all will sing just a little bit more for me, Lord, do it for me. How many of you believe that God will do it for you? Just lift your hands, give God praise and say, Lord, do it for me. Do it for me. Father God, we come before your presence this day. God, we say thank you. Lord, we say thank you for what's already done. Lord, we thank you because we serve a God of impossibilities. And just as you asked Sarah, was there anything too hard for you? We know that there is nothing too hard for our God. You are the Almighty. You are the great I am that I am. You are the living God who sits up high and looks down low, oh God. Lord, we thank you for being our provider. We thank you for being our strength. We thank you for being our help. You said that you are a present help in time of trouble. So Lord, do it for someone this day, this week, this year, oh God. That thing that may seem impossible, move in a mighty way, God. Lord, we come believing you in faith, oh God, and speaking those things that are not as though they were, oh God, Jesus. Move in this place, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Let your anointing be in this place. Take away every distraction, oh God, that would pull us away from your word, and let this seed fall on good ground, that it may render good fruit, oh God, and that it may grow in our hearts and our soul and encourage someone's heart to know, oh God, Jesus, Lord, that you are still God. And that you are still on the throne. We give you honor, we give you glory and praise. Now we ask that you bless this word, oh God, as it comes forth out of my mouth, Lord. Let it be used for the upbuilding of your kingdom. Lord, I decrease, oh God, that you might increase in me, oh God. Move and have your way, Lord. Let this word come forth with power. Let it come forth with clarity and with anointing. We give you honor. We give you glory. And we give you praise. If you believe that, let's give God a hand clap of praise. In Jesus' name, let every heart say amen. Let every heart say amen. And amen, amen. I'm just excited. I believe we have a word for the Lord today. How many of you all are ready to hear from the Lord today? Please keep me in prayer as we go before the Lord. But our scripture this day will be coming from the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms 121. I will focus on verses 5 and 6, but we will read the entire psalm. Psalms 121. I will be reading from the New King James Version. The word of God reads as such. It says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. It says, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. I'll say that again. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you. Somebody say preserve. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Somebody say the Lord is your preserver. Say the Lord is your keeper. Now look at your neighbor and say that God is your keeper. My topic for you today is going to be grateful for what you brought me through. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I am grateful for what God brought me through. Now look to the other side, smile at them, show them your teeth, all of them, even if they're not yours, and say, I'm grateful for what God brought me through. Now, if you don't mind, I want you to go to your third neighbor and give him a high five or give him a clap, give him a shake of the hand and say, neighbor, I'm grateful for what God has brought me through. How many of you know that God has brought you through some things? How many of you know that God has been faithful? How many of you know that God says that even when we abide not, he remains faithful? We serve a God that cannot deny himself. Do I have anybody in this place that's grateful? For what God has brought you through. You may have your seats, but I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. You got 30 seconds to stand on your feet, and nobody needs to talk to you. Nobody needs to say anything to you. You know what God brought you through. I don't know what God brought you through, but you already know. And because he made a way out of no way, you owe God some praise. Somebody shout grateful. Somebody shout grateful. Listen, it may have been a long day. It may have been a long week. It may have been a challenging week. But God brought you through another week. Oh, somebody shout grateful. Somebody say, I'm grateful, I'm grateful, I'm grateful, I'm grateful. I'm grateful, I'm grateful, I'm grateful, I'm grateful. I'm grateful because God is good and all the time. I'll say that again, church. God is good and all the time. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise. Grateful for what you brought me through. Now, before I start, I want to preface this sermon, as I said earlier today, that I was not here last week. I was not here. I was at a different location. I did not look at Pastor Jackson's message. I did not read Pastor Jackson's message. I am not mimicking anything that was said or done. As a matter of fact, I made sure I did not go back and look at his message, even on video, because I believe that sometimes God is just trying to confirm some stuff to us. Amen? Amen. So it may sound like we're going in the same place, but I believe sometimes God will set some things up. Amen. And so I ask that you stay on the road with me. Say, stay on the road with me. We're going somewhere. Amen. Amen. This year's theme for the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road centers around one single word. And that word, church, is grateful. And as believers, we have so much to be grateful for. Amen. We can be grateful for our life. We can be grateful for our health. We can be grateful for our strength. We're grateful for our families, our friends, our loved ones. We're grateful for salvation. Yes, yes, yes. Even as it says in Psalms 103 and 2, which is our theme scripture, it says that we're grateful for all the good things that God does for us. Somebody say grateful. But I particularly like the New King James Version of our theme scripture because it puts it like this. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Somebody say benefits. Somebody say benefits. How many of you know that you got some benefits that come with serving the Lord? And see, this particular verse stands out to me because I believe there is a distinction between the blessings of God and the benefits of God. They may seem the same, but they serve slightly different purposes. See, when we think of blessings, we typically focus on the things that God gives to us. You know, they are tangible things that we can hold on. But when it comes to God's benefits, as Psalms 103 said, it's about what God does for us. How many of you know that God can give some things to you, but God can also give some things, do some things for you. Amen. And so one of the things when it comes to blessing, it's tangible. It's something that we can hold on to. It's that physical gift that God blesses us with. But when it comes to the benefits, benefits are that active, that ongoing system of care and protection that God gives us every single day. Somebody say benefits. I will put an example like serving in the military. You all know I served in the military and we have plenty of veterans here. We thank you for your service. Amen. We thank all veterans for their service. But anyone that's been in any form of the military or any form of service knows that that service and that position comes with great sacrifice. And because that position comes with great sacrifice, it comes with good pay. Now, some would argue that. Some would say it's not that great. But I think it comes with pretty good pay. And pay is like those blessings. It's something tangible. You get it every 2 weeks or so, or you get it every month. It's something that you get in your hand for the service and the sacrifice you're making. But there's something else besides the pay, and it might be just a little bit more important than the paycheck, and that is the benefits. We have the life insurance. We have all the 401k and what we call the TSP plan. We have the healthcare plan. We have all these extra benefits that come with serving in the military because there is great sacrifice. And so I often tell my young son that's out 22 years old in the workforce looking for jobs and stuff, I tell him, when you're looking for that, don't just look, Pastor Mac, for a paycheck. Don't just look at what they're giving you as a paycheck. You've got to look at the benefits as well. Because see, when we're young and we're healthy and we're feeling great and we've got all these things going for us and we're comfortable, sometimes we can have a tendency to overlook the benefits. But when you get a little more mature in life, when you have to deal with a little more health issues, when the arthritis starts kicking in a little bit, when you have to have a little more surgeries and go to the doctors a little bit more often than what you did, you start to realize that the benefits are the things that keep you from sucking up all the blessings when the crisis comes along. Somebody shout benefits. Do I have anybody that's thankful for the benefits of God? See, we have been told that we should give our lives and that we should sacrifice our lives for God. And I'm here to tell you that when you come into service, sacrificing for the Lord, it doesn't just come with blessings. It comes with benefits. It's part of the total compensation package. Somebody clap your hands and thank God for the benefits. That's why the Bible encourages us and tells us to never forget. Somebody say, never forget. Never forget all the benefits that come with serving the Lord. We can never forget all the benefits. But just as we are grateful for the benefits of God, and we are, we must also, the Bible challenges us, to be grateful for the burdens. I'll say that again. Just as we are grateful for the benefits, we must be grateful for the burdens. You know, those hard times, those challenging things, those heavy weights that all of us, our cross that we have to bear in life, when things get difficult, the Bible still tells us to be grateful for that as well. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Whether I'm dealing with benefits and blessings or whether I'm dealing with burdens, I am grateful. The Bible says it like this. It says to count it all joy in James when you fall into various trials and temptations. And we count it all joy, not for the pain. We count it all joy for what the pain is producing. We count it all joy not for the destruction, but we count it all joy for what the destruction is developing. We count it all joy not for how it breaks us, but we count it all joy for how it builds us, because we trust that we serve a God that is working all things for our good. How many of you know that you can count it joy even when you're going through tough times? We can count it joy and be grateful because we serve a God that is faithful. I heard them say it like this in Lamentation. He says, this I recall in my mind, therefore I have hope. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassion fell not, they are renewed every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. And if God can be faithful, we can be grateful. Amen. So do I have anybody in this place today that would stand up and boldly proclaim with me that your God is a way maker, that your God is a miracle worker, that your God is a promise keeper, that your God is a light in the darkness, that your God makes a way out of no way, that your God is a provider, that he's Jehovah Jireh and he can do anything. Are you grateful? Somebody shout grateful. Somebody shout grateful. Because as it says in Job, he knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. There is some fires that are necessary for us to go through. But God says that after it's all said and done, you will be purified and you will be gold, because I am the one that will provide for you. Who knows that God is your provider? But just as God provides for us, and just as we understand that he is a provider, we must also be able to recognize not only what God provides, but what God prevents. Because the same God that saves you in the fire is the same God that will shield you from ever experiencing the flames. So today, as I told you, we were on the road. I didn't copy or mimic Pastor Jackson's sermon, but I just wanted you to know that, yeah, there are times we can be grateful for what God brought me through. But today, I don't want to focus on God, what God brought me through. I want to shift that. Somebody say shift. And instead of being grateful for what he brought me through, I want to be grateful for what he kept me from. Somebody say, Lord, I'm grateful for what you kept me from. See, when I think of the word keep, I recall in my mind hearing our senior pastor get up, and I think he said that one of his favorite sermons from his father, the late Bishop Jackson, was entitled simply Kept. Somebody say kept. Somebody say kept. Now, I didn't have the honor, church. I didn't have the privilege. I wasn't here at the time to be able to hear that sermon, and I'm sure it was a wonderful sermon. And even though I was not here to hear that sermon, I can surely attest to you today one simple fact, that I know above anything that my God is a keeper. Does anybody know that God's a keeper? Do I have anybody in the place that recognize that God is a keeper? The Bible says that he will keep you from falling in Jude and present you faultless. God is a keeper. And when I think about the word keep, I think of this definition. It says that keep means for us to retain in our possession. Somebody say retain. It means that I'm holding something in my possession for my own. It's like a shepherd when they have a protective hedge around the sheep so that they can't escape and so that the wolves can't get them. It says, I'm retaining you in my possession. Keep also means to hold back from danger, to protect or to guard. Similar to what we were talking about with soldiers. When we were out in war, you would have to get on these guard towers and you had to watch over the tower or protect others from defending attacks. So while others were asleep, you were on guard watch and you never left your duty until you were relieved by the next soldier. Somebody say kept. And so God keeps us like that soldier watching. It's not a passive word, it is an active word. Because we don't just serve a God that sits back passively waiting on you to get in something so that he can rescue you. We serve a God that's actively watching us. We serve a God that's actively looking over us. We serve a God that's actively guiding our steps to help us avoid traps that he knew that if we step in them, they would hinder our destiny. Somebody say, keep. The old church would say it like this: God is protecting me from danger seen and unseen. I got a church in the place today, amen. There is a famous quote by Charles Spurgeon, in which he says, God's preventative grace is like an unseen shield. We praise him for the dangers that we see and escape, but we will spend eternity praising him for the millions of dangers that we never knew were there. I want to let you know today, church, that God's power is absolute. We serve a sovereign God. We serve an almighty God. We serve a God that is a keeper and a protector. And a matter of fact, he does it so well that there are many times we don't even understand that he's doing it. So I have a wife and a children, and every now and then, Pastor Mac, I will call them. I say, you know what? Y'all spoil, right? Yeah, y'all get everything y'all want. But my wife's mom would often tell me, you know, you can't get mad for what you're producing.
I'm going to help somebody.
You can't get mad at what you're producing. You're the one that's spoiling her. And so she's used to getting the things that she wants so much that when things don't happen the way we want, we don't know how to react to them. That's how good our God is. God keeps us from so many things that when something actually happens that he allows to come, we're not used, we don't know how to react to it. But there's a million things for the thing that is happening, and I'm not minimizing what's happening to us. But for the million things that he keeps us from, I would say that the things are a little uneven. God is spoiling us because he's a good guy, because we are the apple of his eye, because he loves us. And there are so many things that we could be going through, but somebody say, God kept me. God keeps you. His power is absolute because he is a keeping God. And I believe that there are times where we need to pray, just like Elijah did, that the young man that was walking with him, that God would open his eyes. Because if God was to open our eyes to the real attacks that the enemy are trying to aim at us every day, to the fiery darts that the enemy is throwing at you every day. See, the Bible says that Satan desires you, just as he told Peter, Satan desires you to sift you as wheat. But then he goes on to say, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. How many of you know that even though you've been through some things, even though you've had some challenges in your life, you got a God standing on the throne on your behalf and ensuring that you might have some failures, but your faith will not fail. Somebody say, your faith will not fail. All because we serve a keeper. He is the keeper that watches us in the gates. He is the keeper that protects us on our pathway. He is the keeper that disrupts the plans of Satan. He is the keeper that even though the weapon may form, the Bible says that it shall not prosper. How many of you know that God is a keeper? Do I have anybody that would give a hand clap of praise to the Lord? God keeps us from what I call the should have beens in life. The could have beens in life. Like, I went to war, but I could have been one of the ones that didn't come back from war. I got shot at in war, and I got shot at before I came from war based off of where I grew up. But I could have been one of the ones that actually got shot. Am I talking to myself? I had COVID. Anybody had COVID? Twice. But I could have been one of the ones or more specifically, I could have been one of the millions that didn't recover. Somebody say, but God. Somebody say, but God. And just as I could have been, you could have been as well. As a matter of fact, I could have been, I should have been, and due to some of my foolish decisions, I actually should have been. But God is a keeper. God will keep us sometimes even when we don't want to be kept. You ever got mad and got upset and said, you know what, I'm done, I'm through, I'm not trying, I'm not attempting, and God still covered you with his grace? Even when you just decided you were going to go out and do your own thing and do it the way that you wanted to do it, God still covered you with his mercy. God will keep you just like he kept Sarah in Genesis. When Abraham lied and said that Sarah was his sister and the king took her and the king was about to defile her and God came and interrupted him in his sleep and said, if you touch her, you're a dead man. God kept her from defilement. He will keep you like he kept the three Hebrew boys in the fire. Y'all know the story, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they went into the fiery furnace and it was turned up 7 times hotter. It burnt the people that were putting them in the fire, but it didn't burn them. And not only did it not burn their bodies, it didn't burn their clothes, it didn't singe their hair, The Bible says that they didn't even smell like smoke. How many of you know that God will keep you so well that you won't even smell like the residue of the stuff that you've been in? The enemy tried to leave it on you, but God said they won't even smell like, they won't even look like what you tried to get through. Somebody say keeper. He will keep you like he kept Peter when Peter was walking on the water. And the Bible says that he began to look at the waves that are around him at night. And he began to sink. And Jesus lifted out his hands and caught him. And sometimes we can be in a position where we feel like we're sinking, but you can sink, but God will keep you from drowning. I said earlier that we might be in a position in life right now where you think to yourself, Lord, this is the most difficult thing that I'm dealing with. I feel like I'm in over my head. Lord, I feel like I'm drowning. And you're saying to yourself, and God, you know I can't swim. I know I got some people out here. I'm not going to talk about our folks too much, but we need to learn how to swim a little bit better. Amen. But I know I got some people in my family, you know, my wife in particular, who, you know, is not all that great at swimming. And sometimes Pastor Mac will be at the beach. And one time she got me real good at the beach. I'm like, okay, baby, I know you, I'm trying to help you. And you're getting nervous and you're scared and you're saying you can't swim. But the water ain't that deep. And that's what God is telling us sometimes. I know you can't swim, but the water ain't that deep. And if the water ain't that deep, then all you got to do is, somebody say stand up. Somebody say stand up. See, do I have anybody in this place that will stand up for Jesus? Do I have anybody in this place that is determined that I'm going to stand, and when I've done all that I can, I'm still going to stand? Do I have anybody in this place that will stand and give God some praise? Do I have anybody in this place that will stand and give God your worship? Do I have anybody in this place that will stand and say that I will magnify the Lord and that I will bless the Lord at all times? Somebody say stand. Somebody say stand. Somebody say stand. Give God a hand clap of praise. God is a keeper. And we've got to be determined not to sit down on God. We've got to be determined when we're going through our challenges not to lay down on God, but to continue to make a stand, to continue to tell others, as they said in the song, about the goodness of our God. I mean, you know that God is good. God is good, and to tell him about his keeping power, because the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. And when we're talking about God's keeping power, it's not just something that we read in the Bible, in the book. It's not just their story. It's not just your story. It's my story. Say, it's my story. And if it's your story, nobody can tell your story like you can tell your story. Can you testify that God has been good to you? Can you testify that God has kept you? Can you testify that God will make a way out of no way for you? Because I don't tell you what I read. I don't tell you what I heard somebody else said. I'm telling you what I know. Because I've experienced it for myself. Can I tell you what I know, church? Can I tell you what I know? I know that God has spent so many times in my life not pulling me out of the mud, but keeping me from ever going in the mud. Do y'all mind if I take a minute to testify? See, because I, regardless of what you see standing here right now, I did not grow up in church. I wasn't a PK. I wasn't even an SMO. Somebody know what I'm talking about, right? I was lucky if I went to church on Easter Sunday, and possibly on a good year, I might go on Christmas. And when I did go on Easter Sunday, it wasn't about the resurrection of Christ. It was about showing out my new outfit. That's what I grew up in. I grew up in a household where on Friday and Saturday, mom had fish fries. She got out the big speakers and she brought the wires and put the wires on the outside and opened up the outside, and they had all the fish going and the food, and they had the alcohol rolling, and you had to get out every now and then and dance with the adults and have a good time. And you were out there on Friday and they were partying on Friday and all night on Saturday, and on Sunday was the rest day. Sunday was the time that they slept in. That's the household I grew up in. I grew up in a single parent household. My mom and my dad were not married. I didn't have many people in my family that were. I didn't know what that construct looked like. That was not a norm for me. I didn't grow up in that. I grew up where I had parents in my teen and early 20s that were both addicted to drugs. I'm not talking about just the simple drugs. I'm talking about tough stuff like cocaine and heroin and those type of addictions. Now, I give God praise because both of them are delivered to this day right now. But when I was growing up, that's what I had to witness. I also had to witness cousins and friends and people that were close to me all doing the same type of things in the streets, hustling in the streets, doing those types of things, making quick money, Pastor Mac, telling me when I wanted the chance and when I was ready, I could get that wad of money as well. But when I tried to go out there, there would always be somebody 5 or 6 years older that told me, get back in there and play basketball. Get back in there and get in that school. You can't come out here. This ain't for you. The same people that were doing the dirt were telling me that I couldn't do it. And I take all of that, and then I take the fact that I was a young black man growing up in the South, hanging around these things in what would be considered a difficult neighborhood, having police come in every now and then and harass you. I should have been a statistic. But church, when I tell you that God had his keeping hands on my life. That's okay. I don't need you to pray with me. I don't need you to praise with me, because I know. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. I know God is a keeper. I've seen people die. I know people that's in jail right now. I know people that's going through hard times. I know people that's still on the same blocks 20, 30 years later doing the same thing. And I say, God, you've been good to me. God, you have kept me. And my wife will tell you to this day, I have never drank a drop of alcohol. I have never been high, never smoked any type of drugs. I've never went to jail. I've never had any type of difficulties. I'm sitting right now, even though I wasn't used to it, I'm sitting in a married family with one wife, three kids all together. And I'm not saying that to boast for me, but I am saying it to boast for my God. Because it is not about me. It is not about what I did or didn't go through. It's about serving a God that's a keeper. And how many of you know that just as he kept me, he's kept you too? When the enemy wanted to come in like a flood, the Bible says that God will lift up a standard against him. And I'm here to tell you that God is the ultimate keeper. And that when you want to go through things and you want to have things, that God will not only keep you, but he will protect you. When I first got saved, I used to be ashamed to say stuff like this because I thought I was square. I thought I was weird. I thought I was different. Like, I would go to God and be like, God, I don't have that elaborate big testimony that some other people have of all the magnificent things that you delivered them from. So I would keep quiet until the Lord rebuked me. until the Lord said, I am going to open your eyes. Because, son, you don't realize all the things that I have kept you from. You don't realize all the pathways that I steered you in a different direction. And when the enemy had one plan for you, I rerouted you into another area. And so your testimony may be different, but it is no less powerful. Because the same grace that kept people in the fire is the same grace, Pastor Lawson, that kept me from ever going through those flames. And so I give God praise. I can't help but to praise God. I can't help but to honor God. I can't help but to worship God because I look like David and I say to myself, Lord, who am I? Who am I and what is my family that you have brought me to this point? I don't deserve it. I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. But what I do is I receive it. Somebody say he's a keeper. He's a keeper. And how many of you know that the Lord has done the same thing for you? What has happened to you could only be done by the grace and the mercy of God. It is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And when the enemy wanted to come against you, God allowed you to defy the odds, to defy the statistics, to defy what the world would say you should be. And God redefined all that because you were his. See, when Satan wanted to devour you, God says, I will preserve you. Somebody say preserve. In my hand, I have a jar of jam. Now, young people would call this jam, but if you come from the old country church, you would probably call this what? Preserve. Somebody say preserves. This is what you call preservatives. And I found something strange, Pastor Mac, of how they make preserves. You have to take a fruit, some type of fruit, and then you take that fruit and you put it in heat. And after you put it in heat, then you put a lot of sugar into it. And after you put a lot of sugar, the sugar is the thing that kind of preserves and it sucks out all the moisture. It does all that great stuff. It pulls out the moisture so that the bacteria can't grow. And as it pulls it out, then you add some type of binding agent. That binding agent is like a lemon, some type of juice, something like that, that you add to it. Do I have anybody that makes some homemade preserves? See, you add that to it. And then after you add that to it, you take this and you put it in a bottle and you seal it. Somebody say you seal it. And how many of you know that God will take you as his fruit? And God will put you through the fire. And when we go through the fire, we'll have some sugar and we'll have some sour. We'll have some good days and we'll have some bad days. But through all of that, after God has made you and bind you and put you together, he will take you and he will seal you. He'll seal you in the blood of Jesus. He'll seal you in his name. He'll seal you and protect you, and he'll put a coat of covering all around about you, and then God will take you, and he'll put you up. Now, my dad used to say this saying, Pastor Mac, he used to say all the time that the devil wanted to bury me, but he didn't put the dirt over me. And then he would go on to say that I've been preserved, and God doesn't preserve anything that he doesn't want to use. And some of you right now, you're sitting and you're upset and you're frustrated because you think that you've been thrown away. But you haven't been thrown away, you've just been put away. And when you're put away, I was looking at the preservative and I was looking at the date on it. And on the date of this, it says best used by 2029. So even though you're not being used right now, even though God hasn't opened you up right now, He hasn't thrown you away. He's just put. But best used in 3 years from now. That means whether He decides to do it tomorrow, whether He decides to do it next week, whether He decides to do it next month, whether He decides to do it next year, when God's timing comes and He decides to pull you out, you're going to be just as good then as you were right now. Somebody say, best used in 20 years. God will preserve you and put you away so that the enemy cannot devour you. God will deserve you and put you away because He is there to protect you. God will preserve you and put you away so that the enemy cannot consume you. So that when the enemy wants to consume you with grief, when the enemy wants to consume you with anger, when the enemy wants to consume you with depression, when the enemy wants to consume you with sadness, God says, no, no, you can't touch them. They're mine. I've put them away. And I will pull them out and use them in my timing. Somebody say, my timing. How many of you are grateful to be preserved by the Lord? How many of you are grateful that God is setting you away for a time such as this? How many of you are grateful that even when the enemy came in to try to eat you away, when he came in to try to kill, steal, and destroy, God says, you can't touch them. They are mine. God blocked it. God wouldn't let the enemy come to you. Somebody shout, kept. In our text, we get to Psalms 121. It's one of the most powerful passages in Scripture when it comes to talking about God's grace and His active defense in our lives. The exact author of this psalm is not known, but it is called the Song of Ascents. And the reason why it's called the Song of Ascents is because it is a song of divine protection for Jewish pilgrims as they were traveling up to Jerusalem. They were ascending up the mountains to Jerusalem to celebrate one of the three major festivals. And on their journey of this ascent, as they were going up, how many of you know when you're going up, when you're striving to do things for the Lord on that journey, they faced difficulties. They had mountains and steep mountains. They had harsh terrain. They faced physical dangers like robbers and enemies, and they faced wild animals. But they also faced spiritual dangers like the pagan nations that build idols and gods to worship in the hills and in the high places up in those mountains. But everybody say, but God's a keeper. God is a keeper. And then in verse 3 and 4 of this psalm, this is where we first encounter the word keep. And in here we show and it express how God never slumbers. Say, God never slumbers. And God never sleeps. So if you serve a God that never slumbers and sleep, my question to you is, why are you restless? If God never sleeps, then why are you losing sleep? The Bible says that He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. And so we must be able to trust that we serve a God that is continually watching over us. Say, He never slumbers, He never sleeps. Verse 5 and 6 is our key verse where it picks up. And this is the first time that we hear them say that God is a keeper. And God is not only keeping us from the sun by day or from the visible attacks that we can see every day, He's also keeping us and protecting us from the moon at night, those unseen dangers, those traps, those things that we can't see. God is keeping and protecting us. Like Psalms 91 says in 7, it says, 1,000 shall fall by thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near you. How many of you know that God will keep you so well that destruction may happen around you, but it won't happen near you? Layoffs may happen around you, but it won't come near you. God will watch over you and He will put a protective hedge around you. Somebody say around you. See, when God puts a hedge around us, it is a perimeter. And going back to the military, when we worked in the military, a perimeter was a circle that was completely around you. That means it covered you on all sides. Somebody say all sides. So whether it was spiritual, whether it was mental, whether it was emotional, or whether it was physical, no matter what dangers you may be facing, God will cover you on all sides. And I'm here to tell you today, church, that if God will put you in a circle and cover you, then he will also cover everybody that's in your circle. He will cover your family. He will cover your friends. He will cover everyone that's closely attached to you, because everything attached to you wins. And if God will have all of them covered, say they're all covered, then that goes back to what I said in the very beginning, that we serve a God that blesses us with great benefits. Because any benefit that you have that covers everybody is some great benefits. Amen. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, thank you, Lord, what you kept me from. 3 points and we're out. God's grace extends beyond the seen to the unseen. Much of God's protection happens behind the scenes. This allows us to avoid our hidden dangers. Point number two, God's grace creates a boundary of protection to preserve you. Somebody say preserve. God doesn't preserve anything that he's not planning to use. And if he's planning to use you, that means that the enemy cannot devour you. Point number three. God's grace prevents more than it allows. This one is especially personal to me because, as I said before, I believe that God will say yes to our prayers much more than he says no. But sometimes God is blessing us so good, we just don't know how to respond to the no's. But if you check God's track record, his benefits outweigh our burdens. Amen? So as we are closing, I'm going to ask that you come to the altar at this time. If you are a person that recognize and realize that God has kept you from so many things in life, I'm going to ask that you flood this altar. Because understand this, I'm not saying that you don't face or you won't face difficult times. You will. But sometimes I think we can be so consumed by what we're going through that we become unappreciative of what God has kept us from. And I believe that despite all you're going through, God is still good. I was talking to a young man 2 weeks ago, and he was telling me about some of the things he was going through, and he told me, yes, I'm going through these things, but you know what? It could be worse. And I'm here to tell you, church, that no matter what we're going through, somebody is facing something worse than you. It could be worse. And so that's why we can come with a grateful heart, even when we're going through a challenging time, because we can recognize all the things that God keeps us from. We owe God praise because he blocked it. Will you give God a hand clap of praise? God blocks some things from coming your way. How many of you know that God blocks some things from coming your way?
There were dangers awaiting me. Destruction was sure to me. But thank God for angels that were shielding and protecting and looking out for me. The devil had a plan.
told the devil no? How many of you know that God blocks it? He wouldn't let it be so.
You have been listening to the worship service of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off Interstate 77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services here on the radio. We are also streaming live on our website at bwcar.org, on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, and on YouTube. Our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you missed any of our services or want to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place an order for a CD or DVD of today's sermon titled Grateful for What You Brought Me Through, please call us at 803-776-1238, reference sermon number 081626. Again, that telephone number is 803-776-1238, sermon number 081626. Sunday, August 30th at 10 a.m., join us for our fifth Sunday combined worship service as we host Homecoming Sunday. We're inviting college students from campuses across the area for worship and fellowship with a powerful message from Pastor Antoine Jackson. After the service, all college students are invited to enjoy a free meal. Everyone is encouraged to wear your favorite college shirt, hoodie, hat, or team gear and show your school spirit. Make plans now to be part of this community-wide church service. Join Pastor Daryl Jackson this September for a month of healing, hope, and gratitude. It begins with an emotional transparency and healing panel discussion on Tuesday, September 1st at 7 p.m. in the sanctuary. Pastor Daryl Jackson will speak at all other midweek services throughout September, focusing on the series Emotional Transparency and Healing. The September Sunday sermon series, beginning Sunday, September 6th, is titled Grateful for What God Has Done. Make plans to join us at Bible Way on Sundays and Tuesdays throughout the month of September. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by clicking the link on our website at bwcar.org, or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to the number 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina 29290. Please do not mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. We thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.